Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Were Made for More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out would remind every student that they were made for more, simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes. Or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus. And we're here to help. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. Hi guys, it's Sammy, your host of the You Were Made for More podcast, and on today's episode of You Were Made for More, I'm going to be having a conversation with my friend Gianna Zemet, who is a special education teacher at a high school in the Pittsburgh area. She also serves faithfully in our church's disability ministry and also with our youth group alongside her husband, Jeremiah, who leads it. Our hope is that this conversation would get you thinking about what your theology of disability looks like, how we can come alongside families who have children with disabilities, and how we can provide them an opportunity to know the gospel. That is our goal as the church and as followers of Jesus. And it's a very pro-life mission. As you know, at Abundant Life, we are pro-life, and we are all about making sure that every single person knows the gospel, and that is our goal. So that's my prayer for this conversation, is that you would begin to pray and seek the Lord about how you can do this in your own church community, or in your neighborhood or in your schools or whatever serving looks like for you. Let's welcome Gianna to the podcast. All right, Gianna. So I will start by asking you, basically, like, give our listeners a kind of Spark Notes version of who you are. Like, where can we find you? What are you passionate about? What does your daily life look like? And all of those things.
Yeah, well, my name's Gianna, and I currently am a teacher in the Upper St. Clair School District. I teach 8th grade special education math. That's my title. And that just encompasses two different math classes. One is labeled as a special education math class, and the other is not, but about half of my students in every period that I teach do have some sort of need. I live in Swickley with my husband. We got married about a year ago. And I also, obviously, I'm very passionate about teaching and teaching students with special needs or different disabilities, but also I'm very passionate about mentoring the youth. I volunteer at our church, Northway Christian Community's student ministry. I lead a small group. The girls that I lead right now are going into 11th and 12th grade. So I'm at student ministry every Sunday, and then also I run a Bible study with them throughout the week as well. And yeah, it's really cool to see, as I graduated from college about a year and a half ago now, at this point, almost closest to 2 years, I guess, just how the Lord has guided me. I always thought, I knew I wanted to be a special education teacher. I knew he was calling me to do that, but I thought it was for younger kids. And it's just been really cool to watch him just lead me more towards like teenagers, since I do teach 8th grade. And then the students that I lead are in high school. So it's been really cool to just kind of watch him, like, you know, write my journey, as cheesy, you know, as that sounds, just guide me in that way. As well.
That's awesome. So Yeah, so Gianna's married to Jeremiah, who's the youth pastor at our church. You guys are like a power couple. I love
Oh,
it.
thanks.
And Jeremiah works with my husband, Juan, and their friend Seti. They have a podcast, so they could chat for hours about so many different things we were just talking about. But I was just curious. The reason I asked you to be on this episode, we really haven't featured an episode about faith and disability and all of those things. But like Gianna said, we go to Northway Christian Community in Pittsburgh. There's several different campuses. It's a multi-site campus church. But something that our church is really passionate about, especially in the past like 10 years, I would say, is making faith available and accessible to everyone, no matter what special needs they have, or if they don't have any special needs, you know, and we want to make the gospel communicable and understandable to all people. So we haven't talked about this on our podcast specifically yet. This will be the first episode we feature about faith and disability, but it's a very pro-life issue. It's a pro-people issue, and I think that it starts with like education and understanding. So, Gianna, you said that you felt the Lord calling you to work with kids with special needs and go into special education. Like, why were, I guess I'm curious, when did that start for you, and why are you passionate about loving people with disabilities? Because I know that you are a special education teacher, but what Gianna also didn't mention is that she volunteers also on Sunday mornings in our church's autism ministry, which is a program that we have on Sunday mornings in conjunction with the kids' church, and it allows parents who have children with autism or really any special need to attend church, and it allows those kids to be in kids' church with I'm missing the word. I'm gonna have to like with normal, quote unquote, no normal children. My son Leo, he's gonna be 2 in a few months, but he just started in the autism ministry, and it's like the first time I've been able to go to church in 2 years. So that ministry is a blessing to so many people. So not only does Gianna teach special ed, she leads youth group for high school students, but she also does that on Sunday morning. So talk to me a little bit about like why all of those things are important to you. Why are you passionate about that, huh?
Yeah, I as soon as you mentioned the church, I was like, oh, I forgot to mention the autism ministry. That I
You
mean, that's
do.
honestly that's a huge part also in like me falling in love with like teaching kids or just people with different disabilities. So I went to college knowing I wanted to be a teacher. I just double majored in elementary and special education because honestly, I went to Grove City College and they made that really easy. And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, you know, maybe one day I'll teach special education. And then my sophomore year, I started taking my special ed classes and I just fell in love with them. And then it was just immediately, I was like, this is exactly what the Lord wants me to do. He just made that very clear. And then that summer of my sophomore year, I interned in the autism ministry. And that was when the program actually just launched, so I was there for the launch in
Oh, I didn't
December.
know that.
So I was there's for the be since the beginning, and it's been really cool to watch like it adapt to what it is now because it's obviously not how what it is now right away. But that was when I like really was able to, it was cool to take like what I learned in school, apply it in a ministry, and honestly like in the best place possible because I was able to like talk about the Lord and you know and speak on how he loves everybody no matter what. But that was really what grew my passion as well, and I continued to intern the following summer, and then I continue to serve every other week and sometimes every week, depending on just depending on the schedule and everything. But I like the main reason why I'm so passionate about this is because the Lord calls us to be his hands and feet, and he tells us, in the Bible multiple times, Jesus said to love others, and he said that right after loving the Lord your God with all your heart. And he doesn't say, you need to love the easy people, right? We hear that a lot. He doesn't say we need to love like your friends. But along with that, I think that like lots of time it gets mess left out is that he doesn't say just love the people who you think are quote unquote normal or who are like you. He says to love everybody. So, and he honestly sets that example with lots of time, or a lot actually, of the times Jesus is with people or healing people, eating with people. They're the people society sees as less than others. So he actually sets the example by that. So like throughout college and throughout like my beginning of my teaching career, I have been able to really like tune into that and realize that like we are not to see them as any different, or and that Jesus is the one that actually calls us to love on these people, and he doesn't see them as any less than, so then we shouldn't either. And then I just believe and I know that he has called me to show others this, and to love them the way Jesus does. And in my job, it can be more challenging because I do teach at a public school, so I can't actually, straight up say like, the Lord loves you and, and share any of that. But I try to do that in like the way that I respond to different like behaviors, or just in the way that I teach, or just show I'm like going to work almost every day and just pray that the Lord just speaks through me and it helps me to have compassion on them. Because it can be difficult, but like so can I.
Yeah, I love that. I think that, what you're talking about, like the idea of faith being present in a secular career or a secular environment is like such a process to learn how to do that, right? But I think that honestly, sometimes I have seen the Lord speak like very clearly in situations where we can't even say his name, you know? And I think that that's like it's challenging because you do have to, a lot of the times in like a ministry context in the church, it's sometimes like you can get in this rut where you like know all the right language, you know all the right things to say. But in a environment where you can't really talk about Jesus or preach the gospel using a biblical context or anything like that, I at least find myself like, okay, God, I need you to be my words because like I really know how to do that, you know? And I don't know, I felt that was very true. Like when I went into public schools and taught sexual education and health classes, like I worked for a very much faith-based nonprofit in a pregnancy center, but like you can't talk about those things in a public school. So I relate to what you're saying. It's like you have to rely more on the Holy Spirit on how to guide you. So one thing that you hit on in your explanation of like where your passion started and why you're passionate about it is really like what the Bible says about people and what the Bible says about worth and what the Bible says about who we are and how God created us. And that's something like our podcast is huge on. We really want students to understand their identity, and we believe that like everything flows out of identity. And I think that something I want to spend a little bit of time talking about is practical ways that we can help communities and churches and families understand how to care for and advocate for people who are different than them. Because I think it's really easy not to do that, especially if you're in like a community bubble where like everyone seems to be the same as you, everyone is you're friends with everyone. And I think that I didn't know that about your story, that like you had been at Northway since the autism ministry started. But I think there is something to be said about that, is like how did you see it evolve? Like, how did you see the simple ways that people advocate for people who are different than them? And then what are some more like communal complex ways that we can kind of advocate for people, if that makes sense?
That does. I think the most like straight to the point practical way I think is to educate yourself. Like, and I feel like that's basic, but I mean, we have so many resources now, which is amazing. I mean, I feel like I started college in fall of 2020, and I really think since I started college to now, like resources on disabilities have grown abundantly. And it's wonderful because I've experienced, people are more accepting now, which is not like that. I mean, the first like special education course or I'm blanking on court case, that's a word. Okay. Like the first special education court case, the whole law was in the 1970s. So like really this is recent. I mean not super recent, but it's relatively recent. So like we have a lot of resources now. I mean there's podcasts, websites, seminars, etc. But like even more specific to that, I think it is also important to become familiar with the disabilities. And now maybe like you interact with someone or someone at your church has autism or an intellectual disability or ADHD or so on. Like a great way to help like you put yourself in their shoes and become like actually be able to create a more personal relationship is to understand what their disability is. So I think that is honestly the first step. But another way to like switch our brains around from because like what you said, Sammy, it's not like our first, I feel like human nature, your first reaction is to be like, oh, and maybe like step back or maybe walk past the person or like look away. But like I said earlier, they are just as wonderful as we are. Like we are all made in the image of God, and we are not any better than them because we are neurotypical. So I think like some like a practical way also is to greet someone with a disability the same way that you would greet a neurotypical person. So that would be pr like the first practical tip. A second would be to use people first language, and that is puts the person first rather than their disabilities. And like some examples of that is like rather than saying that's an autistic kid, you would say that kid has autism. So you switch it around, so you put the person first, the child, and then their disability second. Or like that person is handicapped, that person uses a wheelchair. And that's also really helpful because it also like switches your mind around too to recognize them as them first, like they're the person, and then their disability after that. Another way like that I found like helpful is to also acknowledge the people in public. So maybe there's someone in a wheelchair at the ice cream shop, or there is a little boy with Down syndrome. It's to actually acknowledge them and say hello, rather than like averting your eyes or avoiding them. And then, yeah, my last tip is to get involved. The more like you're involved with a community or with people with disabilities, just in general, the more comfortable you will be. And I know not everybody has, actually, most churches don't have an autism ministry or a disability ministry like we do. But like, there's other ways to get involved, even in your like in your kids' church, because I'm sure there are kids with all different needs there. Or there's also programs like Best Buddies that a lot of high schools have, or there's programs like Night to Shine. And then it just helps you to become more comfortable with interacting with people with disabilities, and also like the and learning how to, treat them the way that the Lord would treat them.
Yes, I think that everything you said is so good.
Thank
I
you.
think that something that like I haven't even talked about this on the podcast that much, but I really am like learning the world of disability through my son Leo. I think I had exposure to it. I have an uncle who's a paraplegic and has several different disabilities, but I think it's different like when it's your own child that has disabilities, you really are, you learn through them and through what they're learning. So both my husband and I, this is like all new to us, and thankfully we're so grateful the Lord put us at Northway like before we even really knew that my son had significant disabilities. But something I love about this, he's not even two yet, like he'll be two in a month. And he was my oldest daughter's first sibling. So, like, her first experience with being a big sister has been to a child with pretty significant disabilities. Like, he is almost two and does not crawl. He's nonverbal. All of these things that she is not normal, right? It's not neurotypical. He has a lot of like sensitivities and sensory things that she has learned. I don't necessarily even tell her about like about what he likes and what he doesn't like, but she learns just through observing him play and what makes him comfortable and what makes him uncomfortable. Like she understands what her role is in loving him, and really all that takes is observation and being willing to like put yourself in someone's atmosphere for an extended period of time. And she doesn't have a choice, it's her sibling, but it's a great example of like what a church could do, even if they don't have a disability ministry. Something that is really easy to do is like make kids with disabilities a priority in your kids' church. And an easy way to do that is by creating ways to integrate them in to kids' church and making it possible for them to worship and hear the word and interact with other kids. And sometimes all that takes is having adults who are willing to step into that with them, and be in kids' church with them and able to help them that know their sensory issues and things like that. So I think the main thing I'm trying to say is like the people first language is huge. I think that it's not necessarily something that comes natural to us, especially like as humans and as people who sin. A lot of the times we identify people by traits that they have or the way that they look or the way that they act. And that's something like I've been super intentional about since becoming a parent is like when my daughter Ophi is having a bad day, using language that doesn't identify her as being bad, but it allows me to understand and her to understand that she's having a hard day and having a hard time, and not as she is all of these things or is acting poorly, if that makes sense. But the people first language is huge. I think, like, we have neighborhood kids who like my daughter plays with, and obviously they see my son, like he's outside with us all the time. And I like literally last week had a situation where they asked me a question about him and it was not using people first language. And at first I was like kind of upset about it as his mom, but then I was like, thankfully God like stepped into that moment with me. And it was an opportunity for me to educate them, like, hey, like we can talk about him this way instead of saying this thing, because he's a little boy, and just because he's different doesn't make him anything less, so that is really important. Something that like the Lord has been working on in my heart, and I'm curious as to your thoughts on it as like a youth ministry leader, a teacher, a wife, and all of those things is like, how can we, everyone we meet has a story, and I think that everyone's story is different, obviously. But something I've really been working on reframing for like my daughter and even myself, to be honest, is that how can the hard parts of our story, so for some people that might look like having a disability or being the parent to a child with a disability, how can the hard parts of our story also be the good parts if we let God into them? Like, what does that look like to own that and to live into the truth of who He made us?
Yeah, I think that is such a beautiful question because you oftentimes, or I guess like in the secular world, hard times are the worst times. And like they, and I mean, even as a Christian, they're so hard, but like we are. Like we see the beauty in it because this isn't the end, right? This isn't our home, this earth. And like the hard parts of my life are have been where I've grown the most in my relationship with the Lord. So if we truly can let the hard parts be the good parts and lean into the person that the Lord has made us to be, I truly believe that it will turn out so beautifully. Even if this our whole life on earth is hard. In the end, we will have eternal life in heaven. And like the Lord tells us right in the Bible, in multiple places, talks about suffering right throughout the Bible. We know that we will suffer. And the Bible verse 1 Peter 5:10 like came to my mind when thinking about this. And it says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." And that's just a wonderful reminder that the Lord will restore, he will confirm, he will strengthen us, he will establish us throughout the suffering. And that, I mean, he promises to be with us throughout it, through all the hard parts. In our suffering or in the hard parts of our life, that, like, in comparison to eternal life, it's just a small increment, and it's just a small increment of the blessings that we will receive once we get to heaven. So, I also think that the hard parts can also be good parts if we share and use that also to bring others to Christ. And oftentimes, when you share to your friends, maybe your small group or whomever, a lot of times your friends are going through similar things. And like it might not be, they also have a son with a disability or so. But like we are all human, we all will suffer. It's a promise, unfortunately. But we all are able to like connect and relate. So sometimes sharing in your sufferings will also be like a guide to bring them to Christ, or to, if they're already a Christian, then to like relating even more with it will help strengthen that relationship with that person, because then you can know more specifically how to pray for them, and then you will be able to walk with them as well.
Yes. Yeah, I think that, and to wrap up our conversation and to actually get back to the first thing you talked about when we started the podcast is like looking at the life of Jesus in the Bible. Like, that always is a great way that I am able to see, like, how do we practically do this thing that we want to do? You know, like, if I want to be more compassionate for people who are unlike me, if I want to understand how to advocate for people who are different than me and that deserve dignity, how do I do that? Like, how did Jesus do that? You know? So I
Yes,
think that,
exactly.
like, the first thing you said, like being in the Word and looking at who Jesus is and how he lived his life and what that means for us. Like, he created us in his image. So we're, through the Holy Spirit, able to do all of those things, you know? So I think, like, as our listeners, kind of as you guys pray about like what this looks like for you, whether it's disability ministry or another type of ministry that you're passionate about, I just encourage you, like, look at the life of Jesus, look at how he lives and what he says about the people you're trying to advocate for. And that will guide you, and it will guide you in how to pray and how to act and ultimately, like, where he wants you. So, Gianna, thank you for sharing who you are in your heart and what the Lord has taught you. I think that this conversation will kind of, like, my hope for it is that it spurs a lot of conversations in churches and has people thinking about how they can kind of play a part in this, and advocate for people of all different abilities. So thank you for sharing your heart with us and just your experience and what you've learned as you've done that.